I'm going to welcome my first guest now. Good morning, June Tinsley. You are the Head of Communications for the National Council of the Blind, and welcome to Near FM this morning.
Thanks very much for having me.
Not at all. It's a pleasure. And just to remind our listeners, it's also the longest day of the year. What's happening at the moment with the National Council of the Blind? I know you're having a celebration.
Yes, 2021 is our 90th year. So we're having a series of celebrations, hopefully physical ones later in the year, but certainly marking the occasion internally and externally. As you can imagine, 90 years certainly means that we've been around for a long time.
Yes. And
it's interesting how our services have changed over that time, as initially it was very much kind of a home-based service to try and ensure, I suppose, the teaching of Braille was the main thing back in 1931, whereas now a large proportion of people that would be working with us are not Braille users, largely because a lot of them would be acquiring their sight loss later in life. So they would be now using more digital aids and devices to try and help them to stay connected so that they can use screen readers and screen magnification and all that kind of stuff, and still be able to keep up to date with the newspapers or books or whatever they're interested in doing.
Yes.
But those times have evolved, and as a result, the organisation has changed and responded to the different needs of service users.
I assume, June, that last year, 2020, and this year has been very difficult for the National Council of the Blind Ireland.
Unfortunately, yes. As you can appreciate, we get about 68% of our funding comes from the HSE. So we have to make up that shortfall through fundraising and through our shops. We're lucky enough to have 130 shops right across the country. But like everybody knows, the shops were all closed from the 30th of December. So for 19 weeks, we weren't getting that revenue in from the shops. So certainly it's been difficult from a financial perspective. And all fundraising events were now moved online, or we're just trying to change our fundraising approaches to make them a bit more sustainable.
And your ambition for 2021 up to 2023, what's that all about, please?
We just started our new strategic plan, and I suppose it was an opportunity really for us to mark the 90th celebrations, an opportunity to look back to what has been achieved and the successes and where we've come from, and also to look forward on where we want to go to. And essentially, this strategic plan really has partnership at its core. And by that, I mean it in its very wide sense. So partnership with our service users, partnership with our stakeholders, our donors, the families we connect with. And I suppose what we're trying to do really is to move NCBI from just very much seen as a healthcare disability organisation to one that actually works in partnership with many, many statutory organisations, but also community-based organisations, so that service users, all aspects of their lives can be maximised. And it's things like touching into the arts, heritage and culture arena more than we've done in the past, to make sure that if blind or visually impaired visitors to a centre or to a gallery or to a theatre space, that they will have just as an immersive experience as any other visitor. So it's widening our lens to make sure that we touch all aspects of our service users' lives.
Oh, that's marvellous. And the switch to delivering services virtually, how was that? Was that easy, or had you invested in equipment and technology?
Thankfully, we had. At the back end of 2019 and early 2020, we had kind of made a digital transformation really amongst our staff. So that helped switch everything online when lockdown happened in March 2020. The challenge, of course, was in making sure that our service was continuously available to service users, many of whom would be more elderly and, as a result, may or may not be into technology. So for them, it was a question of trying to adjust to, instead of coming in and having assessments done or supports offered on a one-to-one basis, to now doing it virtually. And I think that applies to any walk of life. That transition takes time for some people, and we had to kind of make sure we were constantly there to hold their hand on that journey. But for others, it was a very seamless transition.
But you deal with all ages, June, don't you? I mean, I understand the age thing because I myself had to learn Zoom. That's all I have to say on that. But the development of a new organisational website, which you set up, that's going to be kept on once everything is over and we're more or less back to normal.
Yes, we kind of invested in our website last year, rebuilding it so that it's fully accessible to people who are blind and vision impaired and using screen readers and that kind of stuff. So that website, ncbi.ie, is here to stay, and we're quite proud of it because it's very accessible. And it also highlighted to us how inaccessible other websites are to people who are blind or vision impaired. If you consider if you're trying to buy a product on a website or apply for something or register, or if you're trying even to apply for a social welfare payment, all those things may not be accessible on a website. And I suppose we're trying to highlight the need and to work with government departments to try and make their websites accessible. And by that I mean that individuals who are screen reader users can complete the transaction or the function with ease, because presently there's many issues, even simple things like downloading a PDF document. If that document is not structured properly, it's not accessible to somebody who uses a screen reader. And I suppose we have an obligation to upskill others to make sure those websites are accessible.
Because I just realised, being totally ignorant, and I must absolutely own up to that, even ordering food from the supermarkets, if somebody is elderly and isolating and now visually impaired, I never for one second gave that a thought. So that's quite an eye-opener. Have you, your temporary closure of your retail stores, you were saying, for have you lost a tremendous amount of money, and can people help, please?
Yeah, I suppose in real money terms, we lost over 4 million with the closure of the stores from December to the 17th of May. We will certainly be grateful of any donations we receive. Donations can be done with ease through our website, ncbi.ie. There are also different fundraising events people can join if they wish to participate in something collectively, and all, again, details of that are on our website. The next event is called Cycle for Sight Loss, and I suppose I would just encourage anyone to participate if they want. Other ways people can donate to NCBI is through a legacy. If you're writing your will, to consider NCBI as a beneficiary. Supporting us through our shops, we certainly would be grateful of donations of clothes or furniture to our shops, or just for you to be a customer. And I suppose what we're trying to do in our shops is really challenge people's perceptions of what charity shopping is about. And many of our stores have kind of undergone a bit of a revamp and would certainly surprise many people that when they're in it, oh my God, this is a charity shop. Just the look, the style, the design, the product content, everything is it's fabulous. Obviously, I'm biased, but it looks fabulous.
Oh no, I'm biased too. I'm on your side, believe me. Because, yes, I am, because I was a display artist in a very large department store in town. So I have to hand it to your shops. They're pretty cool. I'm quite aware that our libraries offer an extensive range of services, digital, large print and so forth. But what about employment? Or is that another issue, please, June?
Yes, unfortunately, employment is a hot topic at the minute. There's about 25% of people who are blind or vision impaired in employment, which is horrifically low given the vast skill sets of people who are blind or vision impaired. And I suppose what NCBI wants to do is to, again, challenge employers' perceptions and assumptions that they might make about a candidate who is blind or vision impaired, and encourage employers by working with them on identifying what modifications a potential candidate might need. It could be something as simple as a screen magnification system, and then the individual can do the job just as anybody else. And I suppose we are heavily involved now in providing, job-ready employability supports to people who are blind or vision impaired to help that transition from school or college into employment, to try and increase that employment rate. Of course, many of the people that we work with are older as well, so they would be retired and out of the labour market. I suppose that's something to consider, because sight loss for many people kicks in as they age. But as you said earlier, NCBI does work with babies all the way through to retirees. So we are certainly want to increase the employment rate amongst people who are blind and vision impaired.
I was just remembering a friend of mine, Christine. She's actually blind, but she's in my writing class, and she has the choice of either using her voice and the words come up, or she types, and nothing stops her as far as I can see now at the moment. So I hope people, particularly in the workplaces, actually think about this. And how many people, or have you a figure of how many people are visually impaired in Ireland?
According to the census, which is the 2016 one, it's 54,800 people who are blind or vision impaired. Now, that's possibly an underestimate, because with the census, as you know, you kind of self-declare your situation. So it could be an underestimate. And also, the census is now 5 years out of date. So as the population ages, sight loss is going to become more prevalent. And then more children have been born in the last 5 years, and a proportion of those would have been born with a vision impairment.
Oh dear, right. So it's not up to date. What about isolation, social isolation? Are you having problems with some of your clients?
It certainly kicked in during lockdown, and I suppose that goes back to the earlier point I made there about how technology, some people were able to embrace it more than others at a faster pace. Technology genuinely is a total enabler. It provides such a link of independence to people who are blind or vision impaired. But for some individuals, they just don't get it, they just don't want to get it, and they just have difficulties. So certainly staying connected during lockdown was very, very difficult for those individuals, because as you can appreciate, they were either cocooning or their family was further than the 5 kilometre distance. And certainly there was heightened levels of social isolation. And what we did was we developed a volunteer-led program called the Connection Network. And it was basically offering a befriending service, a weekly check-in informal chat with individuals to see if they were okay, and to always offer them back into NCBI for more services if they wanted. And that service is actually continuing, because there's a definite need for it, and our volunteers are fully trained. If any of your listeners are interested in hearing more about that, I can provide that information. But that Connection Network service has proved beneficial, because many individuals might be living alone or living in a rural area, and that level of social isolation was certainly increased during COVID. It's also an issue that now that restrictions are easing, we're seeing that people are a little more apprehensive of coming back out into the community, especially if their areas that they've been familiar with have been altered due to outdoor dining. And the different streetscapes have now changed. They're now more pedestrianised than before. And if you can imagine, if you're a cane user, or if you've a guide dog, or none of those, your environment has totally changed. And the confidence that you had to self-navigate through the streets has been eroded, because there's a fear of banging into tables and chairs, not being able to see the sandwich board signs, or not being able to gauge the 2 metre distances. And that certainly has added to stress levels and anxiety.
Yes, and it's kind of a seesaw situation there, because I understand people want to make a living, and at the same time, it's a hard one.
Yeah, I suppose the reality is we can totally understand the need to, for businesses to recoup their losses 100%. But I suppose what we would be asking, and we did a kind of a tips and guidance for businesses around that, is just to ask them to cordon off those areas a little more. So that when, if you're a cane user, it can be detected with a cane, that those kind of cordons would be more detectable. Also, if they can use street furniture that's of a bright enough colour, so to contrast against the background, that there's enough width in the path still for an individual to pass by safely. It's those kind of tips that we would ask businesses to consider, so that they can maximise their revenue, 100% important, but also individuals can feel safe on streetscapes that they've been walking on for years.
I have to say, June, that what you just said is so simple. It's actually brilliant. It's so just to the point. And why not? Why not?
Yes.
And I hope people will take that on. Can I just ask you something about the cycle for the blind, that charity event? When is that starting, please? Or have you a date?
It's starting in July. All our details are up on our website. And I suppose the best thing to do would be to email fundraising@ncbi.ie. And they certainly will be able to give you more information about it. And if anybody is seeking to make a donation directly, again, just jump onto ncbi.ie.
Thank you very much. And I know that you have a pop-up shop in Grafton Street. I'm not too sure what exactly that is. Can you tell our listeners that this is the first pop-up shop for the National Council of the Blind Ireland?
Certainly. The pop-up shop that we had in Grafton Street was for the month of December last year, which worked out really well. But now the pop-up shop has moved to Henry Street in Dublin. And we'll be there till the middle of July. As you can appreciate with the nature of pop-up shops, they're very temporary. So we are in Henry Street. And after that, I'm not really sure where our next one will be. And because of the unique nature of them, we've rebranded them, and they're called Renewed for NCBI. And as I said earlier, if anybody is going into it, you'd be genuinely surprised that it's a charity shop, because the marketing being used and the layout of the store and everything will literally debunk any myths that you have about a charity shop.
Well, I have to agree with you, because it's right across the door from the main entrance into Arnott's.
Correct.
So,
yeah.
And I walked out the door of Arnott's and right into the shop. And I just remembered now when you were talking about it. And yes, I think I saw about six or seven things that just popped at me. And I had to say, I have to come back here now. But look, June, I just want to say thank you very much from Near FM and myself. Thank you for coming on this morning and telling us what's happening with the National Council for the Blind in Ireland. And we'd like you to come back again, hopefully very soon, and let us know how the bicycle charity event went, if that's okay.
Yep, no problem. Happy to have a chat again.
Lovely. And have a good day, and enjoy the longest day in the year. I hope you have a lovely... Thank you very much, June, for coming on this morning. Many thanks. Bye now. Bye-bye.